A logo. MTV Entertainment Studios. Text District 33. A District 33 production.
I am not a finished product. Only judge me when I'm done.
Images of black artists and rappers flash past. A man stands by a window.
Young and black and from the project.
A Park Pictures and Strike Anywhere production.
Got a lot to overcome.
Life. Can rap lyrics be used as evidence in court?
Nationwide, rap lyrics are playing an increasingly prominent role in criminal cases.
Artists say that current law violates their First Amendment right to freedom of artistic expression.
Rappers Killer Mike, Chance the Rapper, and Meek Mill asked the U.S. Supreme Court to step in.
These trials affect rap artists, and typically there's a racist element.
This is all fiction.
It's like seeing an actor.
Gangster rap is what sells.
Rap is an expression to reflect black life in America.
Rapper Young Thug out of Atlanta, his case now sparking the national debate among lawyers and music artists.
A small device with a screen and a keyboard sits on the edge of a tape recorder. The reel spins around slowly. An engineer moves dials on a mixing board. A man stands in the recording booth.
Ain't nobody ever trust my niggas get stuck. Cops throw them in a truck, lock niggas up. Circle getting smaller every day. Life getting shorter every day.
1 second, yo.
Tick, 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 time ticking.
He answers a phone.
Bun B, what's good?
How you doing, man?
Focus. Just in the studio, working on some new shit.
Don't get yourself into something that you don't really understand. You know what I'm saying?
The way I see it, I don't really have a choice.
We have to be careful how we conduct ourselves to not give these motherfuckers no ammunition, because they already make so many assumptions.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Don't help your enemies destroy you. That's the best advice I can say.
All right, OG. Appreciate you looking out. Peace.
I'm ready. Roll the tape.
A title, As We Speak. A person in a puffy winter coat walks past a mural with text that reads, The Bronx. A weathered billboard sits under an empty blue sky. A crowd of people gather under a metal scaffold. Pigeons fly off.
I was born in the Bronx, New York. The South Bronx. Hunts Point, to be exact.
A black man in a hoodie interviews. Kemba.
I knew I wanted to rap when I was 9 because my older brother was rapping. I just started doing it too and I fell in love with it and I never stopped. I met a guy. He invited me to this class that he does at this community center at the Point. He would come in with a newspaper and say, pick an article, write about it in 45 minutes. What that did was got me into the habit of analyzing what was going on in the real world and being able to make it into art. I was saying things that I didn't mean, that I had no experience in, but the punchlines were crazy. And so people were like, oh, this guy, he got potential. As I got older, rap became a big part of who I am. And the Kendrick thing happened.
Remember that motherfucking name, Kemba.
People that come from communities like I do, they don't see many options, you know. Rap is one of the most attainable things to them, to us. The role of the artist is exactly the same as the role of the lover. If I love you, I have to make you conscious of the things you don't see. James Baldwin. Writing lyrics is just like me saying, how do I want you to feel right now?
He puts on headphones and steps in front of a microphone.
Picture Langston flipping language dipped in royal garbs. Marcus Garvey did the garden and embroidered scarves. Politicians tried to hop the fence and fought the guards. Tossed from Zion, all we sighted was a fallen star. Listen, I've made my wishes from stolen gold and scolded women. My shit's afflicted. I'm going cold and growing distant. I've gone the distance, saw the unknown and wasn't flinching. I've grown indifferent. I'm on a mission. I'ma beat this beat till it caves in. Make my team full of made men. We trying to look up for a spaceship. We trying to catch up to the cavemen.
In his kitchen, Kemba sits on the floor and types on a laptop.
In most music, but especially in rap music, you get people talking about their experiences. You get people trying to come out of those difficult places to grow up in by telling the world what's happening there. And it's been like that since the beginning of rap.
Text, rapper Young Thug's lyrics used against him in court.
I would love to hear people's experiences of what it's like to have that twisted against them with the stakes being as high as the loss of your freedom, you know. Music has been the thing I could hold on to when everything was out of control. And I feel like, I feel an obligation to it too.
He packs some things into a suitcase. A train glides across the tracks above the street.
Are we really in danger? If so, I gotta keep things off the grid.
At a pawn shop.
I think I know just the thing.
Kemba enters and walks over to a two-way in the glass cabinet. He kneels down beside it. In an advert, people flip open their two-ways and type messages. Here's a new way to flirt. Listen to the
two-way and learn to go. Can I get this one?
You want this?
Yeah, that's the one.
Boss, I just come back from the time of Nazareth for find this thing.
This is a two-way. You sure this is what you want, my brother?
Yes, sir.
No social media, no Instagram, no
can't
Facebook.
Can't call your mama, can't call
no,
your
nothing.
Girlfriend.
$39.99.
Wow, respect. Knocking off the rust of this thing.
Kemba takes the two-way.
Cool.
Aye, I'm under the radar.
I gotta talk to some other artists. See what to make of this whole rap on trial thing.
A plane flies overhead.
Way before the trial of Young Thug making headlines, the city of Atlanta carved a place in hip-hop that was unique. At a time when the East Coast and West Coast dominated the airwaves, two 20-year-olds from Georgia who went by the name Outkast said what a lot of people below the Mason-Dixon line was thinking. And I got a feeling, even today, the South got something to say.
Text, Atlanta. Kemba rides in the back of a car. Message. I'll be at Silver Skillet before rehearsal. Come through. Killer Mike. At the Silver Skillet restaurant, a waitress carries a coffee pot over to a booth by the window.
Not many artists have been as outspoken about protecting our rights as Killer Mike, whose moms was once a hustler, and his pops a policeman.
Mike, my
bro.
Guy.
What's up, man?
Great
to see you.
Man, bless you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We are the murderous pair. There with the jail and we murdered the murderers there. Then with the hell and discovered the devil delivered some hurt and despair.
How do you feel about that name now in the context of the criminalization of rap music and lyrics?
I love my name because I earned it. I didn't seek to be Killer Mike. It was bestowed upon me after battle. I wouldn't have gave myself that name because it's damn near crazy for a black man to call himself Killer Song.
I feel that.
I just knew that it was important for me that I express myself through art. Mm-hmm. And I went to school during the Reagan era and explosion of the crack epidemic. Rap validated that I wasn't insane. As a kid, I'm seeing things that people aren't acknowledging. You know, Nancy Reagan with that Just Say No shit. Like, get the fuck out of here. I know that my neighbor who used to have a great job should not be standing on the corner this year. So this is beyond Just Say No. This is an epidemic of sorts. And rap is the only thing that validated that. When I said 6 in the morning, police at my door, fresh Adidas squeak across the bathroom floor, out the back windows where I made my skate, didn't even have the chance to grab my old school tape. When I heard that right now, I still get chills because that's actually the life that I started to see black teenage boys leading. And no one was acknowledging that except for rappers.
Can lyrics like that ever be understood in the courtroom?
They're not going to say that the art is simply a representation of the imagination and the thought. They're going to say it's you. You are a killer, Mike, and we're going to lock your ass up. It's a shame that we live in a country where a white woman who killed her husband can write an article called How to Kill Your Husband. And that article is not allowed to be used. And the prosecutor had to find another way to convict her. But I could randomly say some stupid shit in the song, and some prosecutor can clumsily, with no rhythm, say that shit to a judge as though he knows what the fuck I'm talking about, has some type of expertise over the things I'm talking about, or somehow what I'm talking about is not art. What scares me, though, is the criminalization of hip-hop is not new. It's an old tactic. It's just about criminalization of blackness. It's nothing more than a sleight-of-hand trick. If I can keep you believing these people are criminals, you never wonder why does criminality exist or where is it coming from.
I got my heart broke. The pain really made me famous. Betrayal from the closest folk really made me dangerous. I lost too many loved ones. Now these bullets nameless.
Think I'd much rather be rich, but life's a bitch, so fuck it. Been living cursed since the birth. How'd I get so lucky? Heard if you struggle, that just mean that God loves you. Guess she loves me lots.
Y'all was scared of heights. I was fearless on the mountain. I made moves over the years with no announcements. Ambidextrous. I can shoot it with my left wrist. They know it's going in like I'm on the guest list.
Kemba sits in the back of a car and scratches his forehead. He walks across a puddle.
Who chooses where they're born? Or the hand they were dealt?
He enters an elevator.
It's been said that we're living in an idea from another man's mind. But who's the man? And how long has he thought of us as criminals?
In a library, Kemba walks to the African-American music history section. An aisle is labeled Slave Songs.
Slave Songs. On the middle passage to America, enslaved Africans would sing in languages their European captors couldn't understand. During a time of hopelessness and grief, lyrics were their way of secret communication. Not long after their ancestors landed on American shores, their music inspired an uprising. The Stonewall Rebellion of 1739, the largest slave revolt in the British colonies. A band of slaves marched toward freedom in Spanish Florida, killing their masters while pounding drums and shouting a song of liberty. But before reaching their destination, they were cornered, executed. South Carolina passed the Negro Act, which outlawed the drum. An instrument plantation owners called the dangerous tool of rebellion.
A sign on a book aisle reads, Negro Spirituals.
Slave owners demanded that the slaves, quote, make a noise whenever the work went silent. Without drums, they used their bodies to keep rhythm. They sang improvised verses to ridicule their overseers and shared dreams of escape and freedom.
He crosses the library to the blues section.
The blues emerged from those same work songs and field hollers. The Civil War had just ended, but the promise of freedom, 40 acres and a mule, was broken. Blues lyrics overflowed with frustration during a time of state-enforced segregation, also known as Jim Crow.
He goes to the jazz section.
Then, in the 1920s, a new wave of criminalized music, jazz, took over the U.S. by way of New Orleans. The jazz art form was crafted in brothels and speakeasies, where gangsters like Al Capone fought to get the best black performance. As jazz got even more popular, so did attempts to censor the sound that they call devil's music.
A sign marks the rock and roll shelves.
Just when they thought it couldn't get any worse, in came rock and roll.
Many people coming from miles around.
Teenage savages go wild in a juvenile jungle of lust and lawlessness.
Go, Danny, go, go!
Program-lictic nigger rock and roll box.
Ain't that a shame? You're the one.
It is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency of today.
To the booty,
if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
Rain or day, rain or night.
Rock and roll is a means by which the white man
his children to be driven to the level with a nigger.
But the sound could not be stopped.
Baby, baby, wait.
He goes to the soul section.
In the late 1950s into the mid-70s, soul music exploded onto the scene.
Mr. James Brown, baby!
It was the soundtrack of black power, black pride, baby, baby, despite baby, the brutality baby, of the police. Baby, baby. James Brown sang Say Aloud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, 4 months after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated.
Martin Luther King Jr. lies in a coffin.
Now it goes, a 1, 2, 3, and here we go.
It was only 5 years later that DJ Kool Herc threw a back to school jam in the abandoned borough of the Bronx, which became known as the birthplace of hip hop. But it didn't take long for the music to make enemies. Politicians were furious, saying the songs encouraged violence. They accused rappers of trying to incite crime.
Kemba walks down the library stairs.
And just like all the black genres that came before, hip-hop was destined for a battle with the American political system.
We are asking the recording industry to assist parents by placing a warning label on music products inappropriate for younger children.
Beginning in July, this label will appear on the lower right-hand corner at the discretion of record companies and individual artists.
More than a dozen states want to include the parental advisory label in their definition of obscenity, which makes performing or selling controversial rap music a felony.
Two Live Crew went on trial in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on Tuesday, charged with singing obscene songs during a nightclub performance last June.
The key to the prosecution's case in this trial was proving that the crew's material had no artistic or political value.
Would you ban your children from listening to him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just can't buy it. I don't want to be exposed.
Your kids don't live in South Central Los Angeles. 387 of your kids didn't die last year. My audience isn't your kids. If they are, they want to know what's going on in my neighborhood.
The sun cuts through concrete pillars and shines down onto the highway. Text appears over the water. New Orleans. Kemba drags a suitcase behind him.
I used to pass 2 mobile police stops every day walking to the train station in the middle of the stop and frisk era. The more you left your crib, the higher the chances of getting locked up. Even a wrong look at the cops could land me a day in court. The elders used to tell us, do exactly what they say, whatever it takes to make it back home. But not all of us are that lucky. I heard rumors about a rapper signed to Master P's No Limit. Spent most of his life in prison for some lyrics he wrote in the 90s. Maybe he could set the record straight.
Text, Mac Phipps.
You say the green stimulates you, the white motivates you, brown makes you feel that heaven awaits you. I really can't relate, dude, but let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I know you love me more than this Mac 11 I carry for my protection. If so, then let the enemy wander in your direction. I promise to kill infection while seeking perfection, no question. Society is attracted to violence. These artists are basically trying to capitalize on the same appetite for that type of content.
The lyrics that you wrote being used against you, how did that feel?
They actually spliced the lyrics of 2 different songs together. One of them is called Shell Shock. The other one is called Murder, Murder. Murder, Murder, Kill, Kill was a battle rap. And Shell Shock, I make a line about my father, who is a Vietnam vet. He gave me his name, he gave me the game, and if you F with me, he'll put a bullet in your brain. The prosecutor said, Murder, Murder, Kill, Kill. F with me, and I will put a bullet in your brain. Those are the words of this young man. And he pointed at me in the courtroom. And they said 30 years, and I was just like, damn. Now, I never believed that I would literally be found guilty without no evidence. I'm talking about there was no gun linking me to the crime. All the witnesses had changed their stories and recanted what they said. And you had a person that actually confessed to it. And yet I still was found guilty, so I just was like, man, this is not how this works. I spent all my 20s, all my 30s, and half of the 40s. And, wow.
Campbell looks off the side of a boat.
Get ready. here, brother.
Kemba stares out at the passing houses as they glide down the river.
I gotta talk to someone on the inside. Someone who's defended rappers in an actual courtroom.
Alexandra Kazarian, criminal defense attorney.
Hi.
Kemba.
Alexandra Kazarian, nice to meet you.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem. Here you go, in case you need it.
So, I've been trying to get down to the bottom of, like, how we got here. Why rap music is on trial. And I'm curious what your perspective is as a criminal defense attorney.
Well, you're a rap artist, right?
Yeah.
I'm innocent, I swear I'm innocent. For my own benefit is my control. As soon as God forgive me, I'ma sin again.
Well, let's assume a hypothetical, okay? Let's say that you're in the Bronx, and a couple subway stops south of you, there's a convenience store robbery and a homicide. Somebody dies during this robbery. And let's say you're implicated. Somebody says that they saw you there. So you're arrested and you're charged with being part of that murder.
So I'm arrested, then what? What's next?
So while you're in custody, police officers, the investigators, they're gonna go to your house. They're gonna find your computer. They have your phone already. They're gonna comb through your social media. They're gonna find every song, every lyric, every video that you've ever been involved with. And they're gonna use that as evidence against you.
But I've never rapped about robbing a convenience store. How could they even use it?
They're going to take every single lyric and they're gonna rip it apart. If they can prove to the jury that you're the kind of person, that you have the kind of character to be involved in something like this, then it makes it a lot easier for the jury to vote guilty.
Is innocent until proven guilty a real thing?
Clients will ask their lawyer to get them the best deal possible, even if they're innocent, because the idea of putting your entire fate in the system is just too much for people to bear. So if there's a plea deal, a lot of times people will say, I will sacrifice 2 years of my life for something that I had nothing to do with because I don't trust the system to realize that it wasn't me. Only 1% of cases actually go to trial. And when the trial starts, that's when the war begins. Is that what you want?
When you find a system this big, is it even worth writing?
Text the system. Ari Melber.
When we're talking about any criminal case, we're talking about the government, the power of the entire government, its finances, its authority, its police, against a single person. In law enforcement, you have police who are trying to prevent crime or arrest people for it. And then you have prosecutors, DA, who are actually trying those cases. And the prosecutors are only supposed to bring honest, good faith cases that they believe they can win at the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt.
A lot of mass incarceration, racialized mass incarceration, what people call the new Jim Crow, is a product of prosecutors. Prosecutors went from prosecuting roughly 1 out of 3 cases that came into their offices as felonies in the early 80s and the 70s to 2 out of 3. You just do the math on that and you have an explosion in the prison population being driven by more punitive prosecutors. There is no tool that they will turn down if it will raise their conviction rate. It's not about justice. We talk about the culture of police. There's a culture in prosecutors' offices, too.
Most people in America can't afford a private lawyer for a full criminal trial. So that immediately takes something that is described as you have all these rights and you get your Miranda rights and you have a right to a lawyer. That's all in theory.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you.
And in practice, the lawyer you have a right to is probably going to be a public defender.
We don't resource them the way we resource the police, the prosecutors, the bench. And so you have public defenders with 100 cases on their docket.
What an artist is walking into is essentially a prosecutor saying, this artistic expression is actually some form of a confession, and there's nobody there to provide the reality that that isn't what's happening at all. So you've got a jury of 12 people, many of whom are probably not familiar with rap music. Then a prosecutor encourages jurors to read rap lyrics as autobiography. That's very, very dangerous because we know from all kinds of empirical research that rap is really prejudicial.
Rap is black at its core, at its roots, where it originated from. Prosecutors are not dumb. They see this and they know, okay, here is a way I can add a little something. There's the study out of the, I believe it's University of California at Irvine.
Adam Dunbar, PhD.
My research examines the consequences of stereotypes about rap music. And to do so, I conducted a set of studies where participants are asked to read a set of lyrics and then make judgments about those lyrics or about the person that wrote those lyrics. I vary the genre label of those lyrics. So participants either learn that the music is, for example, rap, country, or heavy metal. What they didn't know is that everybody was reading the same lyrics from a 1960s folk song called Bad Man's Blunder.
Well, early one morning, I was rolling around. I was feeling kind of thirsty, so I headed for town. Was going to
and so after reading those lyrics, they were asked to evaluate the lyrics across a number of dimensions, right? How offensive are the lyrics? How threatening are the lyrics?
Early one evening, I was rolling around.
I was feeling kind of mean. I shot a deputy down.
Strolling on home and I went to bed. Well, I laid me a pistol up under my head.
Most importantly, they were asked, how literal are these lyrics, right? Were these lyrics based off of the songwriter's real life?
The judge was an old man, 93.
93. And I didn't like the way the jury looked at me.
I think they were suspicious. The judge and the jury, they did agree. They all said murder in the first degree.
How likable is the songwriter? How intelligent is the songwriter? How aggressive is the songwriter?
You got a point there, Judge. It was a most unsatisfactory trial.
They gave me 99 years.
99 years on the hard rock pile.
99 on the hard rock ground. All I ever did was shoot a deputy down.
How likely is it that the songwriter is involved in criminal activity? How likely is it that the songwriter is involved in a gang?
This whole thing sure has been a lesson to me.
Bang!
Bang.
Bang.
You're dead.
People are a lot more aware that they shouldn't say explicitly racist things, right? So if you say, hey, here's a black guy making music, there's a chance that they're going to say, nope, especially in a study, you're not going to trick me. I'm not going to respond in a way where you think I'm racist. But if you use rap as kind of a cue, right, a cue to race, right, that's where the mind goes. It's kind of using rap music to fill in the blanks. You know, okay, so I'm not going to judge this person because of their race, but because of their music. What we found in that study is that the songwriter was viewed as having worse character and a greater criminal propensity if his lyrics were described as rap music compared to country or heavy metal.
Because we're supposed to always be so authentic or so real, I think, you know, rap lyrics and hip-hop lyrics are definitely taken more literally than most other forms of music.
But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
And that be held to the same standards. Because obviously the environment we come from, and so many of us make the claim that this is real or we're real.
Race is central to rap lyrics on trial. Juries will jump to a conclusion that, hey, this person's guilty. These rap lyrics, if they're not confessional to this crime, they're confessional to other crimes. So there's really no harm in finding him guilty because he's definitely guilty of something.
You know, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it straight. Mm-hmm. It's racism. And prosecutors, they have trainings on it. It has a really negative, pernicious effect on individuals trying just to get a fair trial in our courts.
Straight out of Compton, Compton, Compton.
That's the way it goes in the city of Compton, boy.
Kemba types on his two-way.
Los Angeles, the stomping ground, the N.W.A., Snoop Dogg, Tupac. New York rappers were the definition of cool, but L.A. was just raw. In the 1950s, the city recruited its police force from the Jim Crow South. They were dead set on being segregated. So what did the people do? The Watts Riots, 1965. They burned that motherfucker down. The LAPD had a bad reputation, and gangster rap told us all about it. It was fuck the police, straight up. The image wasn't tailor-made to look cool, and that's exactly why I was. This is the city that made Glasses Malone.
Title Glasses, man in the myth. Not the same rapper rolling grams in the spliff. He the type of trapper go to towns in the six.
You from around here, right?
From Watts.
Oh, where?
Well, I raised Compton and Watts my whole life, man.
Was music big in the neighborhood when you was coming?
My mom was a super music head, dog. My mom put me on E-40. My mom put me on Above the Law. My mom put me on LL Cool J.
Was the gang culture big when you was growing up?
It come with the territory. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just what you do. You know, if you grow up in the community, these are your friends. If you go somewhere and somebody jump on your friends, you stand up for your friends. Right. You know what I mean? You don't have a ton of trust in the legal system, so you pretty much deal with justice in your own way in the community. But I'm a 7th Street Watch Crip.
Oh, how did you get into music?
All the stuff we was going through as gang members, the mic became like my therapist. And every time I made a song about what was going on around the way that was really troubling me, I felt instantly better about it. And if I did it really well at the highest level, people couldn't really be emotionally moved. It didn't matter if it was good or bad.
Really?
It was just greatness. It was powerful. To tell people this is how it is being us. This is how it is being me. This is what, you know, we as a culture value, our reputation, you know what I mean? Like, how you gonna treat us? You gonna disrespect us and beat us up? I don't care if you the Pope and 20 priests. Somebody gonna get shot that day.
So what do you think it is that people wanna see? What do people get from it?
They wanna go into the lion cage.
Go into the lion's cage.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Where we from is the lion cage. Like, we from the zoo to them. Man, if you live in Newport Beach, Compton don't exist. Watts don't exist.
Yeah.
They want that journey.
A stone sculpture appears on a laptop.
Los Angeles was also home to a rapper that shared his name with a scribe from ancient Greece. Beloved by his people, he was crushed to death by the same crowd that sang his praises. His name was Draco, the ruler.
Pixelated footage comes together and forms an image of a black man with a microphone. Draco leans against a fence, then performs for a crowd.
People love Draco, man. Those guys created this industry just out of a change in the sound, you know, slowing things down. Their impact on Los Angeles is undeniable. Some of the most influential artists in the last 10 years, for sure. Draco, because of the style of music he made, the style of artist that he was, he definitely drew lines and created bridges between Detroit, Los Angeles, Oakland.
Draco had sort of the United Nations of gangs around him. He did not exclude people. He had people that were from the Crips, from the Bloods, from the Jungles, from everywhere. And it just so happened that he was at this party. Two of the people that were with him were Crips, and they saw a member of a Blood faction that they were warring with, and they shot and killed somebody. It's a classic LA gang story, as old as time.
Prosecutors are not supposed to introduce character evidence.
Character evidence. Evidence on an individual's personality traits, propensities, or moral standing.
So when they introduce rap lyrics, to avoid being seen as if they are introducing character evidence, they have to find other justifications for using the lyrics. In the Draco case, they were using lyrics in a bizarre way. There was a lyric he had where he talks about, I've got RJ tied up in the back. And RJ refers to a rival rapper. That lyric was used in order to demonstrate that Draco had animosity and motive to orchestrate a hit on a rival rapper. Worth noting that that rival rapper has said repeatedly that he did not think that Draco was trying to kill him.
They knew who the murderer was. It was not a mystery. They had jailhouse recordings, they had an informant, but they wanted Draco. Draco was the big prize. Young and up-and-coming rapper goes to prison for murder. Their case was incredibly weak.
Particularly in a case that's high profile or politically charged, prosecutors are going to pursue a conviction. They're going to make a case whether or not they really have the evidence or not. They feel pressure from their superiors, from their constituents, to bring justice. But if they don't have compelling evidence of guilt, what are they going to do? Well, what they've decided to do in case after case is bring in rap lyrics. even though it's not a just outcome, it is a favorable one from their point of view.
Text, LA rapper Draco the Ruler acquitted of murder.
After his first trial, where he was acquitted on most of the serious charges against him, most prosecutors at that point, most DAs, are not going to refile that case. They've just lost.
Text, Draco the Ruler faces possibility of life in prison as DA refiles charges.
Because of how the LA Sheriff's Department got portrayed, how the DA's office got portrayed through some of the media in that trial, he was getting retried, put on trial for his life because he had upset the powers that be in Los Angeles. Once they got him in there, they kept him in solitary for 9 months. The way he was mistreated and the system was abused, people were paying attention. That really changed the narrative and the nature of the story. He made an album with his producer just rapping through a jail phone that actually got critical acclaim and called it Thank You for Using GTL, which is Global Tell Link, which everybody in the criminal justice system knows is how people in custody call out. The steel bars weren't enough to gauge his artistic expression.
At that time, the district attorney in LA County was Jackie Lacey. She was facing a challenge from a more progressive prosecutor, George Gascon. When Gascon defeated her in election, Draco was literally released the next day.
They saw that they had a weak case, that they might lose at trial. Big loss like that, a public loss, a media loss, for a prosecutor's office is not a good look.
That prosecutor's office knew that he was not going to put up with this nonsense and he was not going to continue to waste people's time and money going after somebody who was clearly not guilty.
Draco walks outside in his release.
The stakes in this story is the power of art to change hearts and minds and whether the police, the state, can come in and police imaginations, police artistic expression, to take this art form away from these street griots is to really crush political speech.
Text appears on a television. R.I.P. Draco, 1993 to 2021.
Every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world. And that's our job, is to spark somebody else watching us.
On a street corner, Kemba types a message on his two-way. Message. I'm working with some artists at our weekly poetry session. You should stop by and have a listen. Layla.
Tupac's first manager, Layla, discovered him as a teenage poet in her living room. So I thought I'd swing through.
Well, hi, you guys.
At a poetry circle.
Thank you all for coming.
Layla Steinberg.
Well, it's going to be a good night tonight, you know. We'll see what happens.
A man steps up to the microphone.
Twice as dark, not half as bright. Born with natural light, but to shine, we have to fight. If I was the same me 200 years ago, my master might give me long lashes like a beauty shop transaction. I would have my face beat for not acting right. I can't imagine. I probably wouldn't last the night. I honor ancestors for their sacrifice, because even if I make it back to life, I'm indebted in my afterlife. Really can't grasp the plight. 400 years of atrocities where masses died. I don't use my voice to spew hate and bash the whites. Except that fascist type, them bigots with that MAGA hype, they strategize. Black demise, proud of what that hat implies. Using fear as alibis to shoot us in our back, and that's why I have to write. One, because I have the right. Two, because they propagate black narratives, and one of us should have it right. Speak my truth. Combat the lies, it's poetry with passion. I ain't rapping just to pass the time.
Businessmen seek power through politics. Tell us play sports to get scholarships. Tell me the line of thinking if you follow it. Who can do more, the DA or Colin Kaepernick? Who the nigga in charge when they Kaepernick? Don't need a street sign saying Black Lives Matter. Need justice for Brianna. Judges we can honor. Attorney generals that hold coppers by the collar and cops that know color ain't cousin to corruption. Prosecutors functioning less like persecutors. Press cops that shoot us, put their ass in prison. Everybody marching, pursuing power positions more than signing a petition and praying somebody listen. Ain't trying to chase dollars to maintain. Trying to raise scholars to take over the whole game.
Pick somebody, anybody, and look them in the eye. And you'll see pain full of questions. And the first one being why.
Kemba smiles from a chair in the audience, Kemba. A notice scribbled in a calendar on a desk.
Kemba.
This is your only chance to take this plea deal.
Kemba looks across at Alexandra.
But if I did take the plea deal, I would have to say that I did it.
Yeah, essentially, you would have to lie and say that you were involved. So you plead guilty, that's on your record forever.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm not taking a plea deal. I think I'll beat the case.
Okay. Follow me, I want to show you something.
Kemba and Alexandra look into a courtroom.
So this is where it all goes down?
Yeah, in places just like this all over the country.
He looks over at a blonde white woman.
That's your public defender. You're going to sit right next to her. This is probably one of the first real times that she's had to really deep dive into your case. She's got 100 cases on her caseload, and she's the only person in this courtroom that's on your side.
Well, what about you? Why I can't have you as an attorney?
15 years ago, that public defender would have been me. But today, do you have a $150,000 check to start working on your case? Not a lot of people do.
A balding white man strolls into the court and nods toward the judge.
That's the prosecutor?
Yeah.
He sits down at his table with a cup of coffee and his documents.
You don't think I could just go in there and explain my side?
Absolutely not. You need to be stoic. You cannot talk to the judge. You cannot talk to the prosecutor. You absolutely cannot talk to the jury. You have to let your lawyer be your voice. If the jury thinks you're panicking, they're going to look at it like you're guilty. You're taking the risk of never getting out. Are you absolutely sure that you'd rather go to trial than take a plea deal?
He blinks and looks back into the courtroom.
Choosing whether to fall on the sword for the sake of your art is not always black and white.
A plane flies through the empty, open sky.
Some people put on the music because they want to peek inside the lion's cage, listening at a safe distance. But in some places, that's not always an option.
Text appears over train tracks, Chicago.
A producer named King Louie invented the term Chirac, and along with it, a bold new sound that broke through the surface of South Chicago.
Nobody knows the trouble I see.
Not this sound. This is just some good gospel shit, but we'll get back to that. Nah, they called it drill music, and the politicians were hell-bent on stopping the movement that they had helped create.
In Chicago today, one of the high-rise buildings in a notorious housing project has been demolished. Cabrini Green has been called the worst project in the nation.
To begin, the projects were isolated by race. Politicians did not want blacks in their community. No matter how terrible the conditions now, many Cabrini residents fear the future they don't know.
If we take a look at the demolishment of the projects, the housing projects here in Chicago, there was never a plan. These were huge high-rise projects that housed thousands of people. Once the projects got torn down, the gangs within those projects were also fractured. And so there really was no gang structure. But there were only certain neighborhoods that people from the projects would be able to move into. Because you are trying to group all of these young people from different gangs, from different neighborhoods, we start to see this uptick in violence happening on public transportation. Young people have these intergenerational connections to gangs that they just kind of inherited. They were born into a GD faction or a BD faction. G Herbo, and he talked about how difficult it was for him to get to school at 7 o'clock in the morning. That is not a safe time. They think it's sweet for you to get on a bus and go to school, but people that are street involved know that that's the time that you can catch somebody out on the street. You just start to see these things continue to play out to the point where some young people start dropping out of school and, you know, just stop going because of safety reasons, and they just become more street involved. As we start to see, you know, the internet era take off, social media platforms take off, we also see that young people are finding a need to discuss what's happening in their neighborhood. And as we start to see more young people enter the rap game, we see them implement discussions about, you know, things that are happening within their neighborhood, areas that are not safe to travel in.
Dr. Danielle Kendricks.
We see the threats and retaliatory lyrics come into play, creating this kind of perfect storm for where we are today with rap.
Text, birth of drill. Skyscrapers tower over streetlights shining above cars.
Drill music, in my opinion, is just a very raw, gritty sound of survival. A lot of people refer to drill music as block music or hood music, and that's really where it got its origins.
Fake Short Drive is a music blog that I created in 2007. Drill came in and was a huge disruptor just because it happened really fast. Right before that time was, you gotta pay dues, you gotta kinda come through the open mic circuit in Chicago, you gotta play at these venues and work your way up, you gotta kinda wait your turn in a way. These kids did not wait their turn. It was like, let's just get this stuff out as fast as we can and then do it again and then multiply it. The views just kept climbing. I think they understood what their fan base wanted and they delivered it to them.
We start to see, you know, people with smartphones making videos. They use what means they had that were accessible to them to paint a picture of what was actually happening around them.
At that moment in 2012, 2013, you could get on the train in Chicago and there'd be kids all huddled around a phone and they would be playing Chief Keef videos.
A rapper dances at a party.
You have this kid making video in his grandmother's living room with a bunch of guys hanging out with a bunch of weapons. Other young people in Chicago seeing, like, wow, he lives in a neighborhood that looks just like mine.
That's one of the first time that I really noticed cars driving down the street, and like every car, didn't matter the race of the person who was driving it, everybody was playing that song. It was raw, it was real. It was not like vetted by a major label or a publicist.
You really start to see this popularity of creating drill music as a means to try to make a way out of the hood.
Once I don't like happens, game over. My phone is ringing literally every day. People I hadn't talked to in years, people who laughed in my face about the Chicago scene or artists that I would send them, were calling me, begging me to introduce them to Chief Keef or their management. We can't get Keef. Who sounds like Keef? Who can we get that sounds like Chief Keef that we can sign?
Text, deal worth $6 million.
Man, it was just such a feeding frenzy. Money was getting thrown around then. Drill was what kicked the doors down and made everybody come here, like, really pay attention to what was happening in the local scene.
We start to see individuals already having a following. And so for a record label, it would be very enticing to work with the artist that already has videos with tons of views and streams. You know, the more violent the individual is, the more people are tuned in, commenting, liking.
Some of these fans are really fanning the flames. On the outside, looking in into some of these message boards and YouTube videos, is like, people are treating these artists like they're not real people with real families in real situations. It's almost like they're Marvel cinematic universe characters.
You have the people that are onlookers that are, you know, tapping in for entertainment and just to engage in poverty voyeurism.
Once the public forms a perception of you and you're aware of that, it's hard not to play into those roles that the public creates for you. There's some kids that probably at one point we're shooting and robbing and, you know, going on drills on the ops and all that shit. But then there's a bunch of kids that could articulate that better than the kids are actually doing it. And it becomes part of their music.
At a public school.
In 2010, a rapper by the name of Pac-Man dropped a song called It's a Drill. And the subgenre was born.
Hey man, you know this Pac-Man, Mr. Joe City.
Sadly, he was taken from us by the same reality he was trying to depict. I had to speak to his fam, some of the original drill rappers, figure out if they think the music is worth the risk.
And we doing numbers, my niggas help me sweep the ball like I'm with the thunder. I know some niggas from my hood, never leave the jungle. They say they tryna see the world, but he's Stevie Wonder, can only wander. The meeting is at 4, but I'll be late.
At a pizza restaurant, Kemba meets with Stash P, Katie Got Bands, Fats Mac, and Sharone.
With the yurt, said we been through all the worst, we about to break the curse. I got niggas on my jack asking me to do a verse.
How do y'all feel like the environment influences the music that's being made?
There isn't any guidance or structure out here. Like, all of the parents and the grandparents want to be 20 again. They so caught up in wanting to party because that's the way we was taught to deal with trauma and pain, was to get fucked up and party. When we met or try to work something out, everybody want to be on the pedestal of being tough.
Why would they rap about violence though in the music? Why?
Because
the environment.
That's all we know. That's all we know. It's like I can't rap about Miami if I never been on the beach.
Right.
I can't rap and say, yeah, I'm on the beach kicking sand. I never been on the beach kicking no sand.
That's all
I see killing every day when I walk out.
Yeah.
So it's like this what we see. And then we see that people is making it off just rapping their life. This is my life. I ain't tell nothing fake.
So with hustling come with everything with the streets. You can't just pick the hustle and say you're going to escape the violence. It don't work like that. The music is the soundtrack to the shit. Like, I don't hear no fucking Ja Rule. I don't want to hear no even 50 Cent. Like, I'm watching 50 Cent get rich. But when I put on Sosa, when I put on these niggas from Chicago, they got Glocks in the video. They got this. So it touched everybody that this shit was going on in their areas anyway.
How do y'all feel about labels? Is it a trust? Is it a mistrust?
My mother was telling me from day one, give me a copy of your contract. I hid it from her when I said, I'm fresh out of high school. You want to sign me here for $100,000? That was a lot of money in 2010, 2011, you know?
They just signing people off actors. You really an actor.
Well,
you
law
know?
Enforcement is using rap lyrics to convict people in court. How do y'all feel about that? Is it something that crosses your mind when you write in it? Do you like, I'm not going to say
entertainment.
That?
Entertainment.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that shit ain't entertainment. A lot of that shit be real.
Some of it
if you
is
rap the truth,
bro.
You deserve to go to jail.
Yeah,
put
yeah,
it
you
like
rap
that.
The truth,
you rap
yeah.
the truth, you deserve
you
to go to jail.
You got your choices.
Because you told. You told
choices.
Yourself. That's like going
but
to sit in an interview room.
But, bro,
it's choices, bro. It's choices.
That's kind of like an oxymoron a little bit because it's like, if you're not a real rapper, people are going to be like, you ain't real. You rap about life that ain't true. They go, man, you ain't rap about
it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people out here doing that.
What's the difference from you killing the motherfucker in the movie
up,
and you making a song on the soundtrack? Or how is it that I might have had a dream about some shit and I wake up and I'm storytelling in a song?
Boom.
You going to use that against me? Just because you said it in the song, that don't mean you did it.
Now, let me interject on that. You just compared music to a movie, right? All right, cool. So you know what happened at the end of a movie? They give motherfuckers their credits. So if a motherfucker wrote this for you, at the end of every rap video, it should be motherfucking credits. This script was written by the director. This part played by who? Hell no.
Who the fuck thinking about putting a
But I'm saying, though, did we not just ask the question?
No,
is it not deep as hell if law enforcement using this to send motherfuckers to jail?
Listen, who's thinking about going to jail for making a damn song in the video, man?
Look, if I see the motherfucker go to jail for making a song in the video, I'm going to cover my ass.
The prop that I had in Go In video, they tried to use that against me with a gun case that I caught. What, a week or two later? A gun that I never seen in my life, a gun I never touched. All because I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. The police are always pinning me out as this, this, and that. Like,
cause you the rapper.
Yeah. Before they had lyrics, they had witnesses. They ain't doing their motherfucking work. The killing shit might be at a minimum, if that was the case.
A car drives over a bridge.
All the hopes that people write about, all the fears, fantasies. No wonder they can't figure out which parts are fact and which parts are fiction in the music. Either way, we're putting ourselves in danger. Because if all they hear is evidence, how much space does that leave us to talk about our lives?
Kemba types on his two-way. Text, Art of Lyrics, Jody Armour.
Black folks' intelligence has been questioned for generations, and what you had in rap is some black kids bust onto the cultural scene with a kind of eloquence and a kind of virtuosity with the language that was undeniable. I first heard, coming out after my constitutional law class, somebody had a speaker out their window, and I heard, "Fuck the police, coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown and not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority." I heard political speech. What gangster rap did was saying, we reject the respectability politics approach.
It's like a civil war going on with black people, and there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go. Boy, I wish they let me join the Ku Klux Klan. Shit, I do a drive-by from here to Brooklyn.
People like Chris Rock are launching their comedic career in a routine like Bring the Pain in 96, 97. His core definition of a so-called nigger is a black criminal. Up to 90% of the young black males in some of these inner-city neighborhoods are going to wind up in jail, on probation, on parole at some point in their lives. So we're saying up to 90% of our own youth are niggas? We're ready to condemn them, to morally condemn them like that because they got caught up in the criminal justice system? Yes, that's how we were thinking in the 90s, and that's how many of us still think. A lot of these folks talk about, I'm that criminal. I'm from the life of crime. So let me give you the so-called nigger perspective and create sympathetic identification by bringing to people a narrative they haven't heard before. That's the value of the music.
Hold up. Let's take it back to the original gangster stories told in the English language.
Julius Caesar is stabbed.
My master's degree is in English Renaissance literature with a focus on Shakespeare.
Shakespeare's photo emerges from a Polaroid camera.
I see lots of ways to compare Shakespeare to contemporary rappers. Shakespeare, he came onto the scene in London. He's an upstart playwright and poet. He would write for and about the lower classes, drawing attention to their struggles. Unlike many of his peers, he does not have the formal education. He was bawdy, he was funny, often hyper-violent in his plays. He's accused of plagiarizing, of stealing. He took things from all different directions and assembled them in new and unique and creative ways. Anybody who's familiar with rap music, certainly during the heyday of sampling, remembers those same criticisms of rappers. And Shakespeare is credited with introducing new words to the English language. Think about how our everyday lexicon has changed because of rap artists doing similar things.
When it comes to getting even, not much has changed since the time of Shakespeare. The Chicago Teachers Union boss Karen Lewis put it this way. We live in a city of Capulets and Montagues. We could either tell the truth about that or not. And in this case, GDs and vice lords. That's our Capulets and Montagues.
Text, Romeo and Juliet. Act 3, Scene 1. Featuring rappers Rocky Fresh, Kari, and Rich Robbins.
The day is hot. The Capulets are abroad. And if we meet, we shall not escape a brawl. For now, these hot days is the mad blood stirring.
Thou art like one of those fellows that when he enters the confines of a bar, slaps his gun on the table and says, God, send me no need of this. And by the second drink, he draws it on the bartender, when indeed there is no need.
Thou accord with the man that hath a hair more or a hair less in his beard than thou hast.
And didst thou not fall out with another for tying his new shoes with old laces?
A bearded man smirks at a table.
By my head. Here comes the Capulet.
A short-haired man enters the restaurant.
By my heel, I care not.
Follow me close, for I will speak to them.
The short-haired man walks along the bar.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. A word with one of you? Tybalt keeps a cautious distance with the members of the Montague family.
The GDs and vice lords
have fought for decades. The original feud long forgotten, but kept alive by each man's duty to avenge their fallen kin.
in only one word with one of us. Couple it with something. Make it a word and a blow.
You shall find me apt enough to that, sir, if you will give me the opportunity.
He flashes a gun in his waistband.
We talk in the public view of men. Either withdraw onto some private place, or reason calmly your grievances, or else depart.
Here all eyes gaze on us.
The bearded man draws a handgun and holds it under the table.
Men's eyes were made to look. Let them gaze. I will not budge for no man's pleasure.
The two men draw their guns on each other. The short-haired man lies on the floor. His gun rests in his limp hand as the life drains from his eyes.
It shouldn't be normal to see people die before their time. Yet here we are. And when we can't find meaning, what more is there to do but lift every voice and sing?
In a church.
I've got an angel watching over me. I've got an angel, yes I do, yes I do, watching over me. And my angel, ooh, I know I can't see.
Yeah.
I've got an angel, yes I do, yes I do, to watch over me. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've got an angel.
Yeah. Watching.
Watching over me.
Yeah. I got an angel.
I've got an angel.
Yeah, yeah. What is your angel doing?
Watching over
yeah.
me.
He got enough angels to go all around. And my angel.
And my angel. Yeah.
Protect me.
There to protect me.
Watching over me.
Yeah. I've got an angel.
Yeah, yeah. And watching over me. Yeah.
I've got an yeah. angel.
Thank God for my angel.
I've got an angel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm watching over me. Yeah.
I've got an angel.
What you doing? Watching over.
I'm watching over me.
At the nighttime, I got an angel.
Watching over me.
A long list of drill rappers who have lost their lives appears. Kemba sits in a pew. He takes out his two-way.
Music is a healing force, but can lyrics really deliver us from the evils? Or do they doom us to repeat the past?
Message. I heard you're chasing a story on drill. Something's going down in London that you need to see. Axel Beats. Kemba closes his two-way and gets to his feet. A plane flies through the clouds.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fastened seatbelt sign. Thanks for flying.
Text, London.
I see you and
London.
I please, please release all my G's. My next door got IPP, she got a soft spot for the gunman.
A person walks along an empty parking lot, and another figure walks in an alley past the backyards of flats. A crowd of pedestrians pass underneath hanging security cameras.
This is the most controversial sound in Britain. It's been called dark and nihilistic.
The authorities have linked a wave of violence to an underground form of rap music known as drill music.
After it left Chicago, drill went global. In the UK, labels were sending gifts to drill rappers in prison to try and convince them to sign before they even got out. The Metropolitan Police was paying close attention. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn and the Bronx, drill rappers were the new rock stars. 504N's video for Big Drip was pushing 85 million views. Imagine my surprise when I found out how many of those beats came from a 19-year-old in East London.
Axel Beats.
I heard they wanted to ban New York drill, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The mayor.
They tried to do that in UK as well.
Did they?
Tried to ban UK drill. You know, they're serious with it when it comes to drill music, takedown video, banning artists. That's why UK drill rappers, they gotta hide their face.
Like, literally wear a mask.
Wear a mask.
Oh, snap.
It's crazy, man.
Axel hits play.
That's hard. That's hard.
Like that bass come in, not through. Hey.
Kemba moves around the apartment, swaying to the music while he looks at his two-way. Axel Beats sits at his laptop. A chandelier shakes. Text appears as Kemba closes his two-way. Surveillance. Frank Linato.
In the mid-2000s, London was en route to becoming one of the most surveilled cities in the world. A lot of public space was being privatised under new Labour policies.
A lot of people in the UK don't necessarily realise the level of surveillance that is in operation by the state.
Surveillance in the UK is actually quite normalised, scarily. There are CCTV cameras across urban areas, in private and public spaces. The UK is more surveillance-oriented than almost any other country, or one of the most in the world. And this has a really detrimental impact in court cases. They have complete editorial control in these cases, so they can draw on the bits of evidence they want, leaving other things on the cutting room floor, so to speak.
It's not just music videos and lyrics which we see is used as evidence in court now. It can be social media posts, captions, comments in social media.
That's true. I've spoken with multiple UK drill rappers and producers who will say, oh, it's almost like there's a guy in the police and he's just paid to sit there and watch our videos. And there's a kind of awkward moment where I'm like, well, yeah, that's actually true. This kind of state-sanctioned surveillance is the modus operandi of the biggest police force in the UK.
I've worked in cases where there'll be a list of videos which the prosecution are seeking to rely on, and there's reference to them having been sourced through Project Alpha.
To put it in the most basic terms, it assembles and then monitors a database tracking the online lives, essentially, of mostly young people. And this involves scouring social media accounts, but also, in particular, YouTube. This has increased year on year by hundreds of percent. They have what's called trusted flagger status with YouTube, which means that the Met has gone to YouTube and made a case for having a higher level of authority so that they can flag a video that they say is harmful or threatening or inciting violence or being possibly connected to an ongoing case, and the video will be taken down.
There's no real evidence that this practice prevents crime, but there is evidence that it's destroying careers of artists. We're talking top 10 to not being in the top 100 charts. Like, it's so important for artists' career, and I think they know that.
I've asked them if they monitor videos of any other genre, and they were perplexed by this as a question.
A camera surveils the streets from up high.
I've seen the police go through a young person's phone and search the amount of times that they've searched the word drill to suggest their interest in criminal subculture. And for me, it's really quite ridiculous. I've also seen, like, the police search terms like stab-proof vest to show the young person's concern with violence. But from a trauma-informed perspective, if a young person's searching about just stab-proof vest, that indicates that they're scared that they might come to some form of harm, not necessarily that they're involved in perpetrating it. Lyrics are often mistranslated by police officers who claim to be experts on rap. For example, something like make a killing, which we know means to make a lot of money. I've seen that translated to suggest that the young person had the intent of murder.
In a lot of these cases, what the prosecution is inviting the court or jury to do is to infer that someone is a member associated with a gang.
Once that term gang is deployed by the state, it has a really detrimental impact on young people.
The most common way that you see drill being used as evidence is through what's known as joint enterprise law, which is similar to US RICO charges. It's used to imply guilt by association.
If there's three people on a track and one person is suspected of doing X, Y, and Z, Playing that video to a jury might cause them to attribute all of the sentiments to any of the artists featured on it.
Where it's particularly significant is that you will be charged as the primary. If there's a murder, you'll be charged for murder.
The police powers in this country are getting more extreme, and some of this playbook is being formulated in and through the targeting of rappers.
I'm not involved in any gang activity or illegal behaviour. I have no type of access to no type of illegal firearms, you get it? And I ain't out here trying to endanger anyone's life either, man.
Kemba hits pause on a music video and leans back.
These rappers in the UK know they being watched. And if the police are using rap artists as guinea pigs, what does that mean for the postal worker, the nurse, the bartender, who find their lives under the microscope of the state? Does power ever know when to stop?
Kemba walks past a sign that reads, CCTV warning, and steps into an elevator. Message, don't leave London before paying a visit to the King of Drill. La Vida Loca. A blonde black woman types on an iPhone. Kemba enters the restaurant. A smile you're on camera sign sits on a shelf.
Hey, you live here?
Yes, I am.
How you doing? Kemba.
Couple months that I've been out, finally let the king out. Still got the heart to bring my tool and back the ting out. I'll take well to a drawer. Mind what you say if it's my name.
So you call yourself the king of drill?
The king of female drill.
Oh, the king of female drill. Okay, yeah. What makes you say that?
The bars, baby. A lot of the time it comes from what I'm going through. I started to write poetry from a young age, and then that kind of transferred into music.
Were you able to find a sense of community or people? Like...
No. I think the first time I found a sense of community was jail. And that's where I really found myself as a person. I did about 4 years. I went in 16, came out just before 21.
Yeah, you grew up a lot?
Yeah, I grew up a lot. I wouldn't be where I am now if I didn't have that experience at all.
Wow. Were you writing?
Yeah, writing. That's where I decided I want to be a rapper, in jail. Right. Yeah. And the girls on the wing pushed me as well. They used to tell me, love, come and rap for us, come and sing for us on the wing and stuff. Like, yeah, they pushed me to chase this dream, really. They always told me, you're bigger than this.
Have you heard about what's happening now where people are using lyrics as evidence against rappers in court?
Yeah, that's happened to me.
Has it?
Yes.
Oh, please tell me about that.
No. While releasing music after I've come out of prison, they're taking all of my music like as evidence for my deportation case. They took one of my songs on my, the chorus is gun on my hip, gun in the crib, gun on the right, just lyrics. And the judge read them out word for word, gun on my hip, gun
no.
on my, gun on the, I was trying so hard not to laugh.
No way.
But I had to stop making drill music.
Like they told you, you can't make drill music.
I got a warning if I carry on inciting gang violence. And if they had it their way, yeah, I wouldn't still be doing this. I felt a bit hurt too, because it's like, this is the only thing that I can do to change my life. I can't get a job. My criminal record is too crazy to get a job. I'm not good at anything else. Like, the only thing I feel like I was ever good at was music. The only thing I feel like I was born to do is music. Sure. So how are you trying to even stop me doing that? I'm not troubling no one, I'm not doing anything. Like, if you take that away from me, I am gonna end up going back. It was a lot of emotional.
Just like La Vida, I don't know where I'd be without rap, or how I would have seen a world outside the X. So I think that's where I need to go next. Back to my own backyard. Talk to somebody who's in the same place I was, searching for a way out.
Text, the Bronx. A plane flies over an apartment complex. Bare tree trunks line a chain link fence. Kemba walks over to three people sitting around picnic tables in a park.
Yeah, what's good, John?
What's good? What's up, man?
How you doing, Z?
How you doing, boy?
It's good, Z. It's good, man.
Chilling, man.
You from the X, right? Where you from?
It's a fact.
Oh, you from? Now, I ain't gonna lie. I heard you said you was the face of the Bronx.
It's a fact.
Shaw Eck.
For sure, he in the cell, he not scared cause he know how to box. Free die, he got jump on.
You got shot when you was 15.
For the fuck. Niggas know what I'm saying is really facts, so that's why niggas start fucking with it. The best way is to go gritty all your way through till you get to that brand.
I just feel it. Shit, I want to hear some shit. Oh, let's go to the car.
The men get to their feet and start off down the street.
Sha grew up 15 minutes from me, but 10 years apart. There's not much difference between him and the famous rappers you see on TV. People are being entertained just the same, but Sha's still in the middle of it, still in the trenches. And his fans love him for it.
Kemba sits in a car with Sha.
So when you make music, where does it come from?
Everything I've been through, the pain, the me wanting to make it out.
When you was coming up, was the goal to get signed? You was like, yo, I'm gonna get signed.
It was to get signed, but I didn't really think it happened.
It ain't seem possible.
People like us, we don't got shit, so we gotta take advantage.
When you wake up in the morning, do you feel like Sha? Or is there a different person than the person making the songs or in the music video?
I feel like a different person.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I just feel like my old self, basically.
What do you mean your old self?
Like, when before all this music shit. It's not a lot of fun.
Do you feel a pressure?
Facts now. Everybody wanna put everything on me. They problems is my problems. And I got my own problems.
You got, like, mad people's, like, hopes on your back type
word,
shit.
Mad people.
How do you deal with that?
Just get high. I just get high. Until I just forget about it. And I go rap. And that's why I rap, because it's like, rap is, like, therapeutic for me. Like, that's, like, my therapy. I could rap to the mic. And then after that, I'd be like, oh, this shit not even that serious.
People hear the music, might see an interview, get an idea about you. Are there things people, like, misunderstand?
Hell yeah, everything. I'm just a kid that just found a way to tell my story. In a good way.
Yeah.
Because they don't want it the other way that I used to be. I was just telling my story in a good way. And God put this way in front of me, and I took it. Just living there, you at risk. You could be an innocent kid. Something will happen to you. Whatever's in the past should always come back to bite you. So with the success or not, you just got to know, like, what you signed up for.
You feel like you could blow up and stay where you grew up at?
Hell no. I got a daughter. I got to think different than.
Is there anything that maybe you didn't have that you want for her?
A crib, two parents in the house.
All of that.
Just able to eat whenever. And don't gotta worry what's your next meal, what's like.
Yeah.
Survival, like, she don't gotta worry about none of that. She could be a regular kid. She could be a regular person in the world. She can hear what I went through and just go a different route. A bunch of people in my hood that, from basketball to rapping to everything, that had a chance and fucked it up, and now they back to the block, man. That's my biggest fear right there. I got some unreleased to show you, my boy.
Let me hear something, man.
I'm the last one alive. I can lose my mind over this shit, baby, I'm solid. I made it on, I ain't even go to college. Fuck it, they gon' call me dumb. I don't give a fuck, cause I be woke with my gun. Go get back for your son. He was saying, Papa Jiggy, now that nigga in my lung. I be going through shit, but I'm never gon' fold. Make my mother happy, cause she see me getting old. I told her to take my gun. When I op see me, this shit gon' blow so fast. It don't matter if a little nigga run. Tell them niggas I'm a shooter. My bitch bad when I fuck her, I abuse her. Pussy so good when she pull pics out on a boomer. I just have to tell her, bitch, don't listen to them. This how this shit get in the Bronx. Niggas be capping. They gon' suck it there, but they gon' cop to when they lacking. Rapper got a worker, we gon' right back to trapping. I was dead broke with something, we all made it happen.
Somewhere I made it happen. When I used to see a nigga down, he started laughing. They ain't tell me how to get that bread, they told me clap shit. Go and get that rat, I'm a brick and go and blast shit. Go and catch a hell, put a nigga in a cast. Now I do this for my daughter, I'ma make sure that she has shit. I told my mom over this shit, baby, I'm solid. I made it out and I ain't even go to college. Fuck it, they gon' say me dumb. I don't give a fuck cause I be whooping with my gun. Go get back for your son. He was saying, Papa Jiggy, now that nigga in my lungs. I be going through shit, but I'm never going fold. Nigga, my mother happy cause she see me getting old.
They get out.
My G, good looks, man. Thank you, man.
Right, bro. Appreciate you.
Good luck with everything. We out of here.
Shaw gets back in the car with his friend as Kemba moves away down the street. At nighttime, Kemba stands on a street corner and looks around. He shuts his eyes. Emerson Sykes, staff attorney, ACLU.
We want to protect the right of everybody to share who they are and where they come from. The First Amendment protects five freedoms. It's about protecting the freedom of belief first, the ideas that are in your head. Next, it's about freedom of speech. So you're not only allowed to hold these ideas, but you're allowed to share them with those who are around you. And then the freedom of the press. So now you've had the idea, you've spoken the idea. It also protects the right to disseminate that idea, to publish that idea online or other ways that we convey messages across time and space. And then you have the freedom of assembly. So you've had an idea, you've communicated that idea, you've disseminated that idea widely, and now you're coming together and mobilizing folks to feel strength in numbers and to activate around this idea. And finally, the right to bring those ideas right to the seat of power to try to change the society around you. So in that way, we can read the First Amendment as protecting the journey from an idea to a movement.
We can criminalize rap all we want, but that's not going to resolve the root of the issue.
We need to listen and really take action around addressing the systemic issues that are causing young people to experience these realities.
We're at the beginning of the process of drafting some legislation to lobby the music industry and the politicians and say that this isn't something that should happen.
We have to protect speech, protect artistry, and we have to be able to, in my opinion, just not only protect those things, but we got to protect hip-hop.
And that's what this bill is responding to.
Limit rap lyrics as evidence.
Decades of over-prosecution based on artistic expression.
I think it's important for people to urge their own state legislatures to do something similar.
California has passed a law, and we're continuing to see more and more states consider this.
If we don't fight back, we're going to be left without our rights.
We got to fight back for the transgressive art, the art that's willing to say the unsayable.
The stakes are there for all of us, and if we lose this case, then, you know, who's next?
Kemba and Alexandra stare into a courtroom.
What was it that Shakespeare said? All the world's a stage?
This is it. Are you absolutely sure that you'd rather go to trial than take a plea deal?
I think so.
Okay. Then good luck.
He turns and walks down the hall without her. She looks through the glass at the jury of white men and women.
Members of the jury, all the prosecution has offered today is music. Just Mr. Jefferson's creative expression. That is not sufficient to show that he committed this crime beyond a reasonable doubt. We ask that you return a verdict of not guilty.
Prosecution, you may proceed with your rebuttal.
The balding prosecutor gets to his feet and adjusts his suit. He takes a sip of water as Kemba watches him. He walks up to the jury.
Members of the jury, as we know from various witnesses' compelling testimony, a good man, an upstanding citizen, was shot and killed. The clear responsibility for that killing lies at the feet of not only the gang member who pulled the trigger, but of the man who sits in this courtroom right here, the defendant, who willfully promoted, furthered, assisted, and benefited from the criminal conduct of that gang.
The prosecutor takes a two-way from an evidence bag.
In this device, this two-way, the defendant wrote his most intimate thoughts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you about this man's thirst for violence. You just have to listen to his own words.
He looks down at a sheet of paper.
I got some N-words in my crosshairs. Gotta burn some bridges as the torch bearer. Get the cowards off the block. I'm worried for my enemies. I've been hitting up the opposition. Where's the mother effing safe at? As soon as God forgive me, I'm gonna sin again. His own words say it all. The defendant's motive was clear: to rob and kill. And without him, the victim, a husband and a father, might still be alive today. Instead, what do we have? A widow, a shattered home, and a city that feels fundamentally unsafe every time you step foot in a convenience store. That's not the way things were meant to be. Do you want to make the world a safer place? The only way to bring justice to this family is to find that man guilty. The prosecution rests.
He returns to his table.
Members of the jury, you've heard all the testimony concerning the case. You and you alone are the judges of the facts. We are adjourned.
Now the jury deliberates. This is your last chance. There's no shame in taking the plea, Kemba.
Alexandra shakes her head. Kemba stands by a microphone.
Don't help your enemies destroy you.
I'm ready. Roll the tape.
A reel of tape starts to spin.
When I wrote this, there wasn't no studio audience. No one applauding it. Movie recording it. Just a devil on one shoulder, angel on one shoulder arguing. One saying keep it calm, one saying nah, go in. Been building a bunch of bridges under two conditions. When you talk, I listen. When I talk, you listen. But some people still won't get it. Maybe they lacking senses, lack of empathy, lack of interest, lack of experience with the blacks. Maybe the accents make them apprehensive. Might have to flip from Queen's flip to the Queen's English for these academics. Okay then, listen. They never cared to make amends. They rather make amendments. Used to auction off the niggas. Now they profit off of prisons. That incentive shape environments. Environments make conditions. The conditions shape the culture. Then they focus on the symptoms. Make a profit off, make a mockery of, then lock you up for lyrics. You get it? Cause I ain't about to say no specifics. Cause nowadays you can say what happened, but we don't know who did it. But they gon' pop up at your door like they Jehovah's Witness. Judge spell out the sentence like you ain't grown us business. They want what's in you without you. Want our rhythm, not our blues. Took the spirit out the soul. Now it feel like deja vu. Took the pulse out the flows. Now it's giving Dr. Seuss. If you see the niggas jumping out the gym, it's not the shoes. The news get you caught up in the angles. The rich and famous. Confessions in a hidden language. The image gangster. I see the dark skin contrasting off different pavements. Lives tangle with the forces like two distant strangers. So when the chalk hit the asphalt and his rhymes and his rap fall, so Fox say it's rap fault, you got what you asked for. Where they get the experts on them lyrics? The task force? How badly you think they wanna win it? The task force. As we speak, they piecing meaning on the newest song, clapping on a 1 and 3, nodding on a 2 and 4. We can see the undercovers peeking through the door, uniform John Cena, like I ain't never seen you before.
In the courtroom.
Be seated. Have you reached a verdict?
Yes, Your Honor. We, the jury, in the case of the State of New York versus Matthew Kemba Jefferson, find the defendant.
Kemba sits beside his attorney.
As we speak, they tune in laws like a blues guitar. Just change the melody and they gon' think it's a new song. Just like our medicine, they never address the root cause. Just reap the rewards and snip the strange fruit off. I know they gon' do their worst as we speak. Thoughts blur, like I said the seven words, FCC. But if any of my words spark a nerve, irking nerve, working nerve, make you nervous, then it's working as we speak.
A guard holds handcuffs behind him. Text. Rap lyrics have been used as evidence in more than 700 trials since 1990. Another 99% of criminal cases are resolved by plea agreements in which evidence is not made public. The true number of incarcerations that prosecutors have secured on the basis of rap lyrics remains unknown. Credits. Directed by J.M. Harper, featuring Kemba, Bun B, Killer Mike, Mac Phipps, Alexander Kazarian, Ari Melber, John Hamasaki, Jody Armour, Eric Nielsen, Adam Dunbar, Glasses Malone, Chase Infinite, Layla Steinberg, Miles Motlilly, Lanny Wilson, Courtney Mims, Dr. Daniel Kendricks, Andrew Barber, Katie Got Bands, Fats Mac, Stash P, Sharon Beverly, Frank Linato, Will Pritchard, Ellie Brazil, Axel Beats, Dr. Abnia Owusu-Bempa, Dr. Ethne Quinn, Levita Loca, Sha Eck, Emerson Sykes, Senator Jamal T. Bailey, Senator Brad Hoyleman-Sigal, Assemblymember Catalina Cruz. Produced by Sam Widows, Peter Camber, Sam Bisbee, J.M. Harper, Executive Producers Ryan Simon, Max Allman, Cody Ryder, Amanda Kolkowski, Bruce Gilmer, right. Co-producers Lisette Uris, Danielle Massey, Consulting Producer Eric Nielsen. I'm fully aware that I'm more credits roll. But I still try. You can see my feelings on the surface again. I still try. I don't even really wanna get to know ya. Statistics show one of us might go soon. No, I don't even really wanna get to know ya. Cause I can't take no more heartbreak. I can't stand to see my brothers die. Stand to read my sister's will. I can't stand to see our mothers cry. I can't stand to see my niggas killed. I'm too young to see the other side. I can't stand to read my sister's will. A logo, MTV Entertainment Studios.